How can I and why should I lead with gratitude? Father Tim Shannon of blessed memory had an amazing ability to inspire and raise money with stories. And he could tell the same story with the exact same words over and over. I must have heard him 50 times say, "I told Mike Gill, my admissions director, that I wanted more students and I wanted better students." I would marvel at it. It worked. The stories were compelling and people wrote checks. He pruned the presentation, a very little, but the basic efficiency was extraordinary. On the other extreme, I've taught a leadership class about 25 times to undergrads at Berkeley, and I've changed it every single time. My wife laughs at me. She's given up on getting me to change and tells me, "It's my choice, so don't complain about the time it takes." I have grooved one sacred routine, though, and I'm recommending it today because it works. We begin every meeting by sharing our answers to two questions. One, top of mind or center of heart, what are you grateful for in this minute? And two, what are you grateful for when it comes to the work and or workers? We do this in our partner meetings, with individual coaching clients, with leading by two pairs, where we encourage them to answer question two about each other's contributions, and with executive teams. In large groups, we'll use breakouts for efficiency. So why do it? Four reasons. One, it brings us all into the present moment, out of the preoccupations or post-occupations that are in our minds. Two, everyone participates right away. Three, it opens us all to an abundance mentality, that there's a lot of good beneath it all. And four, it reminds us of our shared humanity. Our hearts, and not just our brains and egos, are on display. Some have said, why not do it? And I hear the same objections. One, it takes time. Not much, though. Sometimes when we are in the habit of gratitude, but someone has a really tight schedule, we agree, let's do a quickie. But gratitude sharing actually saves all kinds of time. The time of unfocus when people are preoccupied and miss something, for example, or the time lost in frustration and argument when people are feeling great scarcity and little generosity. The second reason people say they don't want to do it is it's artificial, and this is also a good objection. On the personal level, however, if you practice gratitude, think about it, and voice it to others, you will often create the authenticity. Your minds and your words will help you get in touch with what is good in your life, and it may help fuel you as you face what's challenging. The third objection is that you can't make people feel gratitude. For example, if you are the boss or suggest it to your life or business partner, it will just seem forced and insincere. Again, there is truth here. Gratitude without sincerity ain't worth much. In rare cases, it's probably of negative value. For example, it's hard to have people feel it when they're already mired in skepticism or cynicism toward the authority figure of the team. Then it can feel like one more instance of coercion or control on the leader or initiator's part. In such cases, gratitude has to be followed with real engagement around tough root causes. Although it's not a solution, it can help foster an atmosphere of openness. As to all of these objections, I hasten to remind you, leaders will always take flack. Moving people into this emotional space will make some feel uneasy. Leadership always has an element of making people feel uneasy. If you're asking them to face racism, climate change, or political correctness, there will be resistance. So why not lead into the sweet space of gratitude? Gratitude and positive leadership generally are the scientifically proven way of the future, and happen to be embodied in every religious, spiritual, and wisdom practice of old. Will you lead others to the great benefits of gratitude? Leading with gratitude is leading with your best self.